This is Will's Band of the Week for May 15th, 2022. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Kitchener Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
Good to have you back, Anurag.
Yep. I've been having a lot of connectivity problems, not Skype-wise, just general connectivity.
Right, right.
We were supposed to record, what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago? I forget.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's human issues, not technology issues this time. We can't blame the technology.
Exactly.
But Anurag, once again, is in his home studio with the Flaming Lips display in the background.
And so, can you guess what album cover that is?
It's cool looking. I probably should know. That's bad.
Inverted. Sorry. It's George Michael.
George Michael?
Listen Without Prejudice. Yeah, loving George Michael these days.
I don't know why. And yet Radiohead behind that. So,
yeah,
we've been talking about that anticipated release by the Radiohead guys. I think that's going to be good.
I still haven't listened to that. I think I do the same thing you do, where if a song is released, you don't really pay much attention to it.
You're going to wait for the whole album, right? Yeah.
But I probably will look into it. Yeah, the smile.
They're getting good early reviews. So, I don't think I've listened to a whole track yet, but I've sampled maybe like a minute of like three different tracks, and I thought, this sounds pretty good. This is like back to guitar-based Radiohead a little bit, so which should be cool.
Three members of Radiohead who come up with the new band called The Smile, right? So
right, and well, I keep saying this. They're killing that band that we talked about called Smile. So, you know, they could have a gig where Smile opens up for The Smile. That'd be good, right? They owe them something for stealing their name.
It's Radiohead, man. Nobody owes them anything.
It's a dog-eat-dog world. Nobody owes anybody anything. All right, so this is going to be fun. Since in the limited, what do we do? About 1 minute of pre-production? 1 minute of preparation? But this is going to be good. Now everybody's in a rockin' mood. They're picturing themselves in a rock and roll club, seeing some cool music.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, how about that? I just did that recently.
That's pretty cool. Okay, let me guess. Did you see Basement Revolver?
Yes.
All right.
Actually, we did talk about it.
Oh, cool. All right, let's hear about it.
Right. So this was in Hamilton. I really don't visit that part of town too much, but it was surprisingly quite nice. I forget the name of the street, but apparently it looks like it's a main street. And it's a very small venue. I think we were, I'm going to guess, 100, maybe 125 people.
That's a nice small venue.
Yeah, it is a small venue. And the band was milling around with the crowd. I didn't notice that until they got up, like they walked by me to get on stage. I said, oh my God, she was right here, standing right next to me.
Uh-huh.
Could have got an autograph or a picture.
Yeah, or a podcast interview.
Yeah, yeah. And they started playing. And again, I don't know why I keep seeing this. Like, you've heard her songs. She's got such an amazing voice, but the music just drowned it all out completely. And that was a little upsetting. Other than that, the music was good. The band was very energetic. They just changed their drummer. So the new drummer, I think, wanted to prove something. So he was like on it. But the two main people of the band were the bass player, I forget her name, and of course Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were really, really good. And I think apart from the voice, I really couldn't hear her sing much. Other than that, the music was amazing. And I bought their album. Where is it? It's hidden somewhere. And the crowd was really good. And apparently, they're really big in the LGBTQ community, in the local community. And so it was a very diverse crowd. Thankfully, I wasn't the oldest one. I was a little worried about that. I kept telling my daughter, oh, shit.
You want just one person who's older than you. Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying something?
I said you just want to have one person older than you. Then you feel okay.
Yes. And thankfully, I found a few. So.
Oh, good.
I think a lot of them were the band members or friends of band members' parents. They were all there.
Sure. Sure. So, it's their home turf, right? Hamilton is where they're from. Yeah.
Correct. So yeah, it was a really good show, but the entrance to the venue was okay, but where I parked, it was such a sketchy place. And for a couple of minutes, there were like four or five people standing there. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to pass by them and then going to jump me. But no. It was just my mind playing tricks. And I was nice. I'm just sitting on the side.
Sometimes the indie rock venues
drinking away. Yeah,
they're in the gritty area sometimes.
Yeah, it was a good show. I would definitely go see them again.
Cool. They just need to cross the border. It's not that far to come over here.
Yeah, I think they're planning a Europe tour. They were saying that over and over again that we need money for Europe tour, so please buy our merch. So I applied.
That's cool.
Definitely. Yeah, I bought a T-shirt for my daughter and. LP for me.
Good. That's awesome.
What about you? Did you see any shows?
I have a live report. It's like I was talking to you before we started recording that we're recording at kind of a weird time. We had to skip a week. So I'm not even sure which podcast is going to go up this week and which one will be next week, but it's close enough. So I'm going to talk about my recent live experience. We went up to the legendary First Avenue in Minneapolis and saw Fontaine's DC. Which was really cool. A funny thing happened so my wife and I went, and we had an extra ticket. Our son Jackson went with us too, and we had an extra ticket. And I've got an old friend from way back from high school who is a huge music fan. I thought this would be perfect. He lives up there in St. Paul. I'll see if he wants to come. Well, he said he would have come, but the very same night, OMD was playing. Literally like a half mile away from there. And he had already made arrangements to see OMD. So we had competing live shows going on. So it was weird. I was telling the other podcast group in our chat that it was really weird being back there because I think maybe the last band I saw at First Avenue was The Cure in 1987. That's what I'm thinking. And that place is still open, still looks the same. So it was really kind of a weird and kind of fun, like deja vu thing. It's also, if you've seen the movie Purple Rain, that's where it was filmed. So it's kind of neat when you look out on the crowd and it looks the same as the movie, you know. So it's a great venue. And Fontaine's, you know what? They're kind of a little more polished. I think I liked them just a little bit more when they were a little bit more raw, but you know, they're still just a great band, so nothing to complain about. The opener was a band called Just Mustard. They've got an album coming out in a couple of weeks, I believe. And that's a band from Dublin, Ireland also. The thing about them that I would say that was really cool was the guitars being used as like noise. The guitar player would sometimes play, I think both guitar players are doing this. They'd play, looked like they're playing a chord, but then what would come out would be just noise, like sound like it was made by a synthesizer or something, you know? So some very creative, cool guitar work and kind of a dark, brooding kind of a sound and a great drummer. So, where I would say they could have been a little better is the vocalist is good, but she's doesn't really stand out. At least I didn't think on this one performance. And also the songs. You know, they're more like soundscapes, and I think they could develop some better actual songs. But overall, good band, good, reasonably good, worthy opener.
What was the name again?
Just Mustard. So they'll probably get some buzz, I think, when their album comes out in a couple weeks. So, but we're before that. We're kind of ahead of the rest of the indie rock press. In fact, David saw them at South by Southwest, so he'd be, you know, he's all over them already. So anyway, cool. There's my live report and your live report. And we've got music to talk about. And we, you know, we're having troubles, you know, getting together, and we were like, we got to do this because we got to do these bands justice. So the first one I came across with, you know, was getting a lot of good reviews, and I'm like, so I started playing the album, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've heard this before, because it was your bonus song of the week, right? Spiritualized from the new album.
Oh yeah, I forgot I did a bonus song.
The first track on the album was your bonus song, like a month ago or something. And I'm like,
yeah,
wait a minute. So I started listening to it, and I'm like, do I have the wrong album? Did this come out, you know, a year or two ago? Yeah, Spiritualized. And Jason Pierce is the guy's name, right?
Right.
And he's now...
In fact, I didn't even know that they were going to release an album until you gave me the list. I was like, why is Spiritualized on the list? And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, they've come out with a new album.
See, they creep up on you, right? It's like you had heard the track, but then, it is actually... I've found a useful thing even when I don't listen to... you know, tracks in advance. But if I see an album is coming out, the streaming service will have the album listed as soon as there's the first track is released. And if you add that to your music library, then once the whole album comes out, it automatically adds the whole thing. So sometimes I get surprised on a Friday. I'm like, it's almost like sort of bookmarking something, right? And it's like, hey, that album came out. That's great. So there's one we're going to talk about soon with Craig, which now it might be last week's podcast or next week's, I'm not sure. that happened with one of those, so it was really cool. So yeah, new Spiritualized album called Everything Was Beautiful, and it's still in the vein of the, what do you call this? I call it...
Wall of Sound?
It's a wall of sound. It's kind of psychedelic Britpop, something like that, right? And he's got super melodic hooks
And he's thrown in a lot of other stuff too. Like I heard jazz at one point, I think, and the wall of sound, and the chaos that he and the band manages to create is upsetting and at the same time really uplifting. It's the album just took me by surprise.
So you want to make the first pick?
Absolutely. So let's go with the A song. Sorry, I don't know which number it is. I should have had that keyed up.
It's a 7 track album, 44 minutes, so they kind of let it stretch out a bit. The A song is number 7.
Cool.
we have that joke that we describe what something sounds like and then we play it and it sounds nothing like that. But you did not you did not have that problem, because the wall of sound, I mean, it's like, it's like,
no, actually,
there's so much going on there.
Started, it suddenly occurred to me I should have picked a segment further into the song where the wall of sound really starts to build
it's
up.
It's even more of a wall of sound. That was still a wall of sound already, I think.
This is the first song that really got hold of me in the album. And I was like, holy cow, they're back.
It's spiritualized. And his earlier band was Spaceman 3, right?
I'm really not familiar with his stuff. Yeah. In fact, while I was looking into this, I didn't know that they had actually released another album after the one that I really liked previously. I think in 2018, they had another album. I totally missed it. So I'm really listening to that stuff too. And it's just as good. This guy's really impressing me.
Yeah, he's quite accomplished. All right. I had three other tracks out of the seven that I picked. So, I mean, there's a lot to choose from here. Let's go with number four, Crazy. It's kind of a poppy one. You're talking about the different styles on the album. That one even has a little country twang to it.
And very gospel-y, right?
Right.
Is that a word?
Yeah. I guess so, sure.
Yep. So that's another very good example of different styles of music that this guy is able to produce. Yep. Excellent stuff.
Yep. All right. One more. What's it going to be?
Oh, my pick. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had one lined up called The Main Song. Mainline song. I think it's number six.
That is number five. And that was on my short list too. So we're in agreement. The Mainline song. Well, we basically just played the intro.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does sing, guys.
Yeah, he does. It's a six-minute song. That was like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can get the idea of the kind of big production type sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's cool.
It's really cool. Yep. I'm glad you picked this.
So Spiritualized, the album, is Everything Was Beautiful. Pretty much getting really good reviews as being like, really, really good example of his stuff. You know, like as good as most of any of the other stuff that he's done. So Check it out.
Yes.
So time to move on to the next band. Let's do it.
Yes. Oh, that was a question for me? Sorry.
It was going to be a question, but yeah. Well, let's talk about Colatura. This is fun for me because I actually met them in South by Southwest. Well, I met one of them.
Nice.
The backstory here is that, you sample a bunch of stuff, bands you might be interested in seeing, and their name popped up, and I sampled a little bit, and I thought, this is like a really fun sort of indie pop sound that I think I would really like. I would like to see a band like this. So I had them on my list to see. And it was really, really late one night. I think they might have started at 1 in the morning. And they were at this really fun venue called Las Perlas, which is a mezcal bar. It's actually, there's a mezcal bar and a whiskey bar, and they're kind of attached to each other. There's a back patio where you can go out one bar and in the other one. So $7,000 is the other one, the whiskey one. But they were at Las Perlas, and it's really tiny. Like, the stage is so small. They had four band members, and you can barely fit the four people. And I was joking to somebody, if you tried to fit, like, a larger band on there, they would just be, like, just completely crammed. But, you know, it's fun to see a band in a tiny venue like that. And they sounded great. And afterwards, I just struck up a conversation with one of the members, Meredith, and she was really cool and really, really nice. I ended up running into her at another show later in the week, and just really nice person. So I think when you meet somebody from the band, it gives you this extra little connection, which is cool. But they were very excited about their album that was going to come out. Now it has. They're a Brooklyn band, but they don't try to be cool just because they're from Brooklyn. You know, they just are from Brooklyn. So the album is called And Then I'll Be Happy. And, I've got a story about one of the songs. So the question is, should I play that one first or should I play that one later? Let's just play it now.
Yep.
It's number 12 called We Run on Empty. Thank you. Colatura. The album is called And Then I'll Be Happy. That's probably sort of the dream poppiest type song on the album. But my story is, I was listening to that, just really absorbing it. It sounded so much like my favorite old band, Cocteau Twins, that I walked up to Meredith afterwards. I said, "Was that a Cocteau Twins cover, or is it just sort of your take?" Because it's sort of, there's even like a melody there that's reminiscent, aside from the vocals. She said, "Oh no, it's our original." And she told me what the song was called. And she said that their Cocteau Twins are an influence on them. And I just thought that was cool.
Oh wow!
So,
to me, they sounded a lot like not in this song, but the other songs, Always.
Sure.
Yeah. At first, I thought, oh my God, has the singer moved on and switched bands?
Right.
Then I looked at the list and said, no, there's somebody else. It just sounded so much like Always.
Yep. Well, I'm never going to complain when a band sounds like Cocteau Twins are Always. Two of my favorite bands. So.
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool. So, do you have a track you would like to highlight?
Yeah. Met.
Number 6, The Met. Tura. Yeah, that one had an Always vibe for sure.
Yep, I was just going to say.
Super catchy.
Sounded like Always.
Yeah. Yep, that's very good. Very cool. I like the vibe of the band a lot. And there's a pretty good variety on it, too. They have three different singers, and they mix it up. And I'll pick one more. And they've done what I, you know my expectation of a band. You got to have a good track, too, right? And they did it. They pulled it off. So let's play number 2. Absent Mind.
So high.
Colatura. And the album is And Then I'll Be Happy. And I think people should check it out. It's a solid indie pop album. And it's a band that you hope they keep going, and they, you know, they'll, I can tell, they'll get better, and they'll just still be just really fun to follow and really cool. Great to meet them, and hope they can keep on getting some momentum from this album and then moving forward. I did some music journalism, because I was trying to figure out, like, what does that mean? What does Colatura mean? So This is very funny. If you Google, what does Colatura mean? It says, I think you must have been asking, what does Coloratura mean? So Google said, you must be looking for Coloratura, which, and the definition of that is elaborate ornamentation of a vocal melody, especially in operatic singing by a soprano. Okay, that's kind of cool, right? That's kind of a cool name.
That is cool, yeah.
But they're not Coloratura, they're Colatura. So I searched further because I my level of music journalism, I don't just stop at the first result, right? I do a second search. So this is almost better. There's actually a definition of Colatura. You know what it is?
What?
It's an Italian version of an aged fish sauce. How's that?
I don't think they had that in mind when they named themselves.
apparently used with anchovies. So I don't know. I think that sounds pretty good. It sounds tasty. So they could maybe, it could be both.
It could be both. Yep.
All right. Check out Colatura. Cool band.
They are.
All right. We have one more, right?
This one.
This one was almost like off the charts, where it almost like, it stayed on my playlist. Like, this is interesting enough that I probably need to talk about it. It is so retro sounding, and I think this will be that people play that game. Like, what does this sound like? I actually read something where somebody compared them to another band. I'm like, okay, maybe I get that now, but I wasn't getting it at the time, because it sounds to me like it was recorded in 1967 or something. Yep. We're talking about a band called The Sound Carriers. And we'll have to get into some little bit of music journalism on them, but maybe we'll just play a track. I already said, do you think when I play something, it's going to reflect what I just said about it?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I've heard the album, and I agree with you.
The Sound Carriers. So, okay. The track I decided to highlight was number 6, Saturate.
Yeah.
that's the sound carriers. So people are probably thinking, wonder where they're from. Probably not from Kitchener.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not from Madison. Probably not from Texas. So we've eliminated some places. Now, how about Nottingham, UK? Right in the central, like middle of England. The closest big city I could find is Sheffield. So right in the middle.
This was like an album after a number of years. Is that true?
I think so. Like, they've actually been around a while, and I had never heard of them before. But, yeah, they've apparently got some, you know, a few other albums, and they've been around. Kind of well-known, probably. Maybe Craig's familiar with them. He'll have to tell us. Yeah. Mm. When they released the album, when they announced it, they said it would be their first album in 8 years. So they had, I guess they formed in the late 2000s. So they've been around a while. I don't know, is it the bass, that kind of woody sounding bass that's like way at the mm-hmm. forefront in the recording? Is that maybe is something that makes it sound super 60s?
They definitely sound like they're from the 60s. They've also got that jangly sound, right, with the guitar?
Yeah, yeah. It's
like, I know that appeals to you guys a lot.
Not to you, though?
No, I think that's the only reason I can think of why I am not on board with the REM earlier stuff and the Smiths. And
yeah,
that sound just doesn't appeal to me. Sorry.
You're not the jangle pop guy.
Yeah. Not the jangle pop guy. Nope.
Yet you're still willing to be on this podcast, so that's good. I appreciate it.
I have tried and I've tried. But some of the songs work on this album.
I think somebody compared them to Stereolab. When I heard that, I was like, yeah, maybe. You know, it's there's probably a lot of influences on there, and I had a hard time coming up with specific bands. So, all right, what's your pick?
Oh, my pick would be Driver. I think that's number 7.
My son and I have this game we play sometimes. He'll put something on in the car that I haven't heard before. And the game will be, what year is this from? Like, what year was this recorded? And sometimes it's pretty funny because it'll be like an 80s synth influence thing. And I'll be thinking like, boy, it could be 1986 or it could be 2021, you know? So this, you could hear this and you could be like, it's a pretty legit recording that sounds like the 60s, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought you picked it because of the bass.
Well, I do love the bass.
Really, yeah, really flying everywhere and really loud.
Right, it's way at the forefront. Like, it's very, very bass driven, and I'd be curious to know what they may be playing one of those violin basses, because those tend to have a sound like that. And and obviously it's not just the bass itself, but it's the amp that they run it through in the recording. But yeah, I think that is something that really drew me to it. And the drums too, and everything is kind of recorded in a certain way that there's like tambourine percussion, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fun stuff. And I think it's pretty catchy too.
It is. I agree. Even though the jangly parts do drive me crazy.
if you're doing the Anurag remix, you'd take out the jangle parts and you'd put the little. I know what you would add to it. You'd add like a little droney kind of
some sort of noise. Yes.
Yeah, well, it'd be like a droney synth and that goes kind of boom. we'd have fun if we made an album together, wouldn't we? There'd be like this great debate. I'd be like, I think I want a little more of that jangle. He'd be like, nope.
Or we'll just end up killing each other, one of the two.
I imagine the debates that go on with bands sometimes when they're like doing the mix.
Oh, my God, oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. All right, the Sound Carriers album is Wilds. We're going to play one more. I'm going to go back to number 4 called All These Things. That's the Sound Carriers. Again, this is something we say all the time, but I would love to see how they pull that off in a live performance. Because there's no way they could quite make it sound so characteristic like the recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet it would it would still be like pretty cool. So, yeah. I don't even know. I think I found them on a pretty small blog, and I haven't read anything about them in like the bigger rock press. So maybe kind of a small following, but I think pretty cool and pretty worthwhile. The Sound Carriers.
Yeah. I enjoyed them, but not as much as our other two bands. So,
all right. You're happy to have them third on the hierarchy this week.
That's right.
All right. If you get a little bit of enjoyment, though, and then it's something you listen to that you would not have otherwise, right?
I kept searching for... why would Will like this? So I found that pretty quickly. The bass and the jangles and yep.
All right, cool. Well, do we have a bonus song?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Gotta do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
All right. It's that time of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't like the jangle. Maybe you didn't like the Britpop. Maybe you didn't like the Brooklyn indie pop, but you held on for the bonus song of the week because you knew that we'd come up with something good, right?
That's right. Yep.
Let me say before we get to the bonus song, there are, let's see. Oh, I can't even count them. There are so many good albums. It's going to be really fun. So yeah, much good music out there. Some are kind of like things you've heard of a lot, and then there's like some more obscure things that I've been listening to that I really like. So, really fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So, all right, you want to go first on the bonus song?
Sure, I'll go first. We're going to listen to a song from George Michael's "Listen Without Prejudice" album.
You said you've been listening to a lot of George Michael. All right, this will be the first George Michael appearance on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. I will force you into it.
Tell me what got you interested in this, and then, of course, explain your pick.
Well, I've always been a George Michael fan, but his later albums are much better. And then he got in that kerfuffle with Sony, and then I saw his documentary recently, which he narrated just before he died. Like, it was so soon after he died that they didn't even have footage of him, you know, narrating it. So I think that's how I remember it. But I saw the documentary and it just kind of rekindled the fascination again. I don't like his Wham phase. I despise that to the core. I don't like his phase right after the Wham. I think he came out with, what was that sexy song? I Want Your Sex? Yeah. That was weird too. But then his later stuff kept getting better and better. And this is one of my favorite albums. I've had it for a while, and then I dug it out again after I saw the documentary and started listening to it and appreciated it in a different light of like how he struggled with his sexuality, how he struggled, you know, when everybody in the business was trying to hide his sexuality, how it impacted him. And, you know, and then I saw some YouTube bits in which he tried to make a comeback, and he was successful in it. And then he got into that fight with, you know, the music industry, and they kind of just shut him down. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I like his latest stuff. I like this album, the other one too. I'm totally blanking on the name right now, so don't ask me. So we'll listen to a song from "Listen Without Prejudice." The song is called "Heal the Pain." I think it's number 8. It's showing up as number 8 on my streaming site.
George Michael, Anurag's bonus song of the week. The listeners won't hear that when I first queued this up, I had the wrong version. It's the one with Paul McCartney. You can just call up your friend Paul McCartney to sing on a song that's like pretty good, right?
I didn't even know that he was singing George Michael songs. Yeah,
it sounded like it was the same recording, and they just like dubbed in Paul McCartney's voice in there.
Uh huh. That's why I was. The moment that Paul McCartney started singing, I was like, "Oh my God, that's on him! What the hell is that?"
So there is a Paul McCartney version for people who'd like to hear that. So,
and just so that you know, I went through the Beatles documentary, that 9 hours or 10 hours documentary.
Yeah,
that recording. That oh my God, it is so insane, and it's pretty good. It does take a lot of effort viewing it. So, but I just wanted to give kudos to Peter Jackson and the phenomenal work that they've done. It's so seamless. But then I read up the technology they used in the background. Wow, it's just too good.
They apparently had to use like this incredible technology to kind of isolate the microphone so you could understand people. And I bet it would be interesting to sort of hear the source material that they were working with and then how they made it.
Videos out there. There are YouTube videos in which they compare.
Oh, really? Okay. That's not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. It was the audio that was the hard part, not the the shots, the movie itself. But yep. Anyway, I did that. I'm very proud of myself.
I watched, I think, half of the first one, and it wasn't that I thought it was really good. But it's just a time issue. We haven't gotten around to, like, it's a little, sometimes it's intimidating, right? When you know how long it is, you're like, well, if I'm going to keep watching this, I have to commit to all this time. So, anyway,
I had very hard stops. So, I think it took me about a month to watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when they do one of their songs, and I'm like, okay, just stop here and pick up when I'm in the mood. I also didn't force myself to watch it. So, when I was in the mood, and with my job, it is that my job is like it'll suddenly pick up for a few hours and then it'll suddenly slow down. So in the slow down time, I just let's put this on. So next time I'm going to watch that documentary, Robert Johnson documentary. It's called Devil at the Crossroads. I have it queued up.
Cool. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. All right.
It's a bonus song.
I've got a bonus song. So, we're in May now, and all of these. Not only are we in May, but we're kind of. I don't want to say we're out of COVID, but we're at the stage of COVID where the events are coming back. A lot of the events that weren't happening, which include these big music festivals, right? So, and what happens when they announce all these big music festivals? There's often a band that hasn't played in a while that surfaces at a music festival, and you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. They're gonna play another gig. Maybe they're gonna kind of get back up and running a little bit. It'll be fun, right? So one of the bands that I saw on a list, and I can't even remember because, I really love the format of a music festival like South by Southwest, where you get to go see a whole bunch of bands in relatively small venues. I might be a little too old to go to a music festival with a throng of 50,000 people, but it's fun to see like what's going on. And so one of the bands that's going to play at one of these upcoming festivals is the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. They haven't done anything in such a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll put out a new album, and what a fun band, and it's what a fun band they've been to follow. And I kind of loved they kind of had a guitar phase and then a synth phase, which I kind of loved both of them. But I started to miss the guitar phase a little bit when they were totally into the synths. I'm like, Nick Zinner, I think that's his name, was like, come on, play your guitar, play your cool, noisy guitar again. But some of the synth stuff is great. So one of my favorite albums is just this classic. And I've got the play count on my music program here, the album, it's Blitz. I think my son Reese is responsible for this. The song Dull Life has 327 plays. Oh, so he liked that. But I thought I'd pick a track from this album. I'll pick a different one. There's so many good songs in this album, but let's play Soft Shock. That's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs from the It's Blitz album, 2009.
That was really good, man.
That's 13 years old now. And
I have never heard this before. That was really good.
The last album they put out was in 2013. So it's been 9 years since they've had an album. I kind of wonder what, you know, I guess it's hard not to focus on the you know, the front woman, Karen O. Just such a super talent, and I wonder what she's been doing the last few years. Come on, Karen O, let's entertain the people some more. So apparently
she
they're going to...
She had a song a few years ago that was played in the Oscars. That's all I remember.
It's probably that one from the soundtrack to... there was an album called, like, or a movie called, like, Where the Wild Things Are or something like that. Like a kind of a kid movie, but it was like a super really good soundtrack. Really good album.
The Moon Song, I think that's what it was.
Oh, the Moon Song.
It is the Moon Song?
Karen O with Ezra Koenig, the Moon Song, music from and inspired by the motion picture Her.
Oh, yes. And the movie was really, really good, Her.
She's got a song on the soundtrack to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is with Trent Reznor. And then and then she's got this, wow, she's got a song with Michael Kiwanuka. That's amazing.
Oh, really?
So okay. She does know how to hang out with the cool people.
Yeah.
But
well, she's a cool person.
She's
too,
just
so.
Yeah, what a great talent. So anyway, I hope they kind of reactivate, but it was fun to go back to that song and that album.
Nice.
All right. Did we do it justice? Have we done the listeners justice?
We did.
It's funny, just when I think this is going to be a quick one. We're just going to rip right through these bands. Now we're like well over an hour. Because it's impossible to stop us from blathering for at least an hour, right?
Well, you did select three bands, so that probably had something to do with
it. I know there's too many bands, so you got to do it. So, all right, thank you, Anurag. I really appreciate that. You're like ready to rock at any moment. Like if I'm like, hey, we need somebody this week, you're like, I'm in. So
except when my wife is not well. So
well, yeah. Nobody's available when their wife is not well. Come on.
So, that's true.
I hope she's well now.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, she just did a little too much gardening, and I think the whole day just kind of caught up to her. So she just suddenly crashed.
You know, if she did gardening today in Madison, you know what the problem would be?
What?
It's 90 degrees and humid. It's crazy.
Stop.
It's crazy.
Freaking complaining.
it's like we're in Florida. It's too hot.
Do you remember the winter you had?
I know. That's the thing. All we do is complain. It's either 90 and humid or it's, you know, 38.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have any middle ground. It's crazy stuff.
Right. We were at 28 today. I have the AC on right now. It's that warm.
Yeah, we do too. We do.
Yeah.
What's 28? We got to compare the 28.
I think it is times 2. Probably 90 something, right?
God, I'm looking it up right now. Well, 28 is only 82.4 Fahrenheit.
Oh, 82. So you guys were even
warm.
More than that.
Yeah, we were 90, so we were probably about
holy
31
hell.
Or something. Yeah, that's hot. Everybody should just change to the metric system, and then we'd be fine. But
yes.
Americans can't do that, so we're still, it just can't happen.
Well, I have another live report for you. A quick live report.
There's another live report? Do we?
My daughter, no, it's not from me.
Okay.
My daughter is visiting Texas, Houston. And she got an invite from one of her cousins who got a ticket to artist Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She had that really awesome song, Brutal. The rest of the album was, it was okay. But that song, Brutal, is just amazing. And then she got an invite and I suggested to her, why are you going to Houston? Let me just buy you a ticket here. And I looked it up, $1,000 a ticket. The scalpers were selling it for $1,000 a ticket. So
she's
right now in Texas. In fact, I just texted her, like, hey, how's the concert going? So, yeah, she's an Olivia Rodrigo concert. I'll give you an update from her site next time we meet.
So she got a ticket when they went on sale, like a regular ticket.
Yeah.
And now the scalpers are asking for $1,000?
Yeah. Her cousin's father, he kind of sat up at night and in fact, they haven't even told us how much the ticket is for. I'm guessing it's going to be in the range of $150,
$200. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that ticket, the scalpers are selling it for $1,000. That's the quote I got, $1,000.
Jeez, this is the industry term. It's called blowing up, right?
Yeah.
Today on the social media, I think there was a photo of her with Jack White. So she's hanging out with Jack White. So, you know.
Regal?
Yeah. Yep. That's not just indie rock cred. That's like arena rock cred, right?
Don't think she's what, 17, 18 years old?
I don't know, but she met Jack White, apparently.
So that's where she is, and I will give you an update when she comes back.
Well, that's pretty exciting. That's pretty cool.
19 years old. My God.
19 years old from Kitchener, and she's in Houston watching Olivia Rodrigo. Well, very cool. Thanks again. We should probably sign off before we lose all the listeners.
I think so.
Maybe we've lost them already. How many people are still listening? Like 4, maybe? I don't know. There might be more than that. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.